I see a table. I see a table. Just prophetically, I see a table laying on the floor. It's a table, but it doesn't have legs. And the Lord said to me, he said, so tell my people, I've seen the desire, the vision, even your imagination that we'll talk about today. And I've seen the things that have been on your life. And he said, Lord, how can I support this? There's so much, but doesn't seem to be a support system for what you've placed on my table. But the Lord says, I'm about to, and I'm going to put legs under that table. It will no longer be a vision or a desire that rests on the floor going nowhere. But the Lord says, I add legs to the table, a support system for what I placed in your heart and what I've called you to do. The Lord says, I bring structure to your dream, and I bring structure to your imagination. It will not be just a table holding things, but it structure, support, wisdom, understanding, insight, and physical energy enough to do it is released, and the table is being lifted from the ground.
Amen.
Because God is providing a support system. A support system for that dream, for that vision. A support system. How many receive that? You've been trying to pick it up and carrying it. You've been trying to be the have the dream and the desire and carry the burden of it. But the Lord says no longer. I'm releasing a support system, the grace, and you're going to see, even in this house, things that have been unsupported. Thank you, worship team. We're just going to flow today. Things that have been unsupported and have been resting and not moving, a support system is coming. You're going to see it lift. You're going to see it lift. You're going to see your business lift. You guys are going to sit down. You're going to see your business lift and take on legs. It's not going to be toil. There's a support system coming. There's a support system. I'm not going to say it's not without work. There's a support system coming. Support the dream. Support the vision. To support what God has given you to do. Is it all right if we just minister prophetically today? Is that all right? Amen. A support system. Structure. There's some important dates that I need to give you, and I want to give them to you really quick, and I want to go back into what we're talking about here, and we're going to release our young people in just a moment. Let me just do these announcements. I think what we're going to do is we're going to title this message Kingdom Imagined. Kingdom Imagined. Kingdom Imagined. Because the Lord has been dealing with me in an area of imagination. I've never really preached on belief systems, mind, you know, but not imagination. And I'll tell you how this started to unpack here in just a moment. And sometimes we let the enemy use our imagination and paint all kinds of pictures. But do you know that when you're in Christ, even your imagination is sanctified and used of God? Your imagination is not just a hope, but your imagination is the visual imagery of your faith. Let me get to the announcement. So we might be here. We'll probably be here for a minute. Kingdom Imagine. We were titling our series Kingdom Shift, but so many of the prophets came and talked on shift and God shifting in this time. I said, well, we'll shift the title. We'll shift to Kingdom Imagine. Amen. A few dates I want you to get, people of God. And we're going to go right into the message. Those that are viewing via live stream, please share, tag. You really want to hear this. So here, Monday, I do our 6 a.m. launch prayer. We've been doing that for some time now, for years, I believe. And now we're adding the Bible recap at 7 a.m. I've been trying to find a time slot that I could be consistent, because sometimes I'm a marketplace guy, so sometimes I work, and certain seasons I just get swamped. But 7 a.m. Monday, I feel safe. We're going to do some catching up on our Bible recap, but I believe I could be consistent on Mondays at 7 a.m. So join me, or we watch it when you can at 7 a.m. Mondays. June 3rd. Is our prophetic scope activation, Saturday, June 3rd at 11 a.m. Be part of this. God is pairing. He has really directed us, because He prepared us through the series of prophetic scope. And then in June, we have the Project Family Month. And now we're going to be dealing with our prophetic scope activation. So we're going to be doing activations. We want the worship team to be there. We want many as can be to be there. Let me tell you something. The world is looking for the people of God. The world is looking for you. Tell somebody, the world is looking for me. Anytime you offer $100,000 in the city of Detroit for anybody that can come up with something to decrease violence, that is a king, modern day king, the mayor, modern day king saying, I need a prophet because I don't have the answer. You are the answer. You're placed in this earth to be an answer. I like the Whitfields came up with this shirt. I wore mine. I haven't worn it here, but I did wear it. Solutionist. Solutionist. Amen. People, God, are not a problem. You're a solution. You may start off a problem, but eventually you become a solution. And there's wealth waiting on solutions. Somebody say that. There's wealth waiting on solutions. So come and be part of this activation on June 3rd, Prophet Alicia and myself. And then June is Project Family Month. Amen. I want to see men in June. I want to see every Sunday, but I want to see more men. Invite, bring others. Amen. To be part. And this is not just, it doesn't have to be the family, mom, dad, children, however your family is made up of. If it's a family of one. Amen. We're going to have fellowships. We're going to have a tent outside, canopies outside, fellowship outside. Amen. It's going to be teaching, sharing. I've already talked to some of the brothers on Father's Day. We're going to have kind of a symposium of brothers sharing. Amen. And just so it's not going to be a traditional month. I mean, we want to bless and talk and educate and help the families. Amen. Amen. So June is Project Family Month. I'm thinking next week. of just having people put their family names somewhere, Dr. Sam, just to pray the week leading up to June for families, And I have to share more on that. It's just as simple as just putting your family name down. Amen. All right. Just a little softer. Sunday, July 16th, Volunteer Appreciation Day. Amen? Amen. Well, come on, give yourselves a hand. It's just something that Pastor Gail and I want to do. We haven't seen it. We're not copying. We just want to do it. People come, they serve, they give, they support. I mean, we just want to say thank you. And we want to let people know we appreciate them. And that's, I don't care. That's everybody that's doing something. Now listen, if you haven't started volunteering for something, there's a spot for you. There's a spot for you. We need help. I ain't going to say who it is, but we got a master chef in the building. I ain't going to tell their business, though. I ain't kidding either. I'm looking at my computer. I ain't even looking up. But we need help. Because this ministry is going to be what God gave me in my imagination. Amen. See how that works? God gave you a picture in the spirit. And you're going to be what you thought was just an imagination. My God, I can't wait to preach. All right, Sunday, where's that? Sunday, July 16th. I'm a minister on that Sunday. We're going to roll out the red carpet. And we're going to try to have our volunteers do as least as possible. And we're going to have food catered. So be part of it. Keep giving, and we got to pay for all this. Amen. Amen. All right. Bear with me today. We're just going to be having like a night. It's not going to be a conventional service. So just bear with me. But the word's going to be right on. All right. August 18th, 19th, and 20th is our retreat. Amen. Amen. Hold up. Our 2023 annual retreat for Hollow Conference Center. Amen. Listen, you're in early bird special time, and we need people. If you want to go and you plan to go, sign in for early bird, because when we assign the contract, we don't want to sign a contract with only five people signed up, because we are obligated for a minimum number. So don't put it off. If you know you're going, sign up for the retreat. It's at a hotel. No well water. All activities. Listen, it may cost a little more, and you can get the prices when you sign up, but all the meals are included. Y'all remember Pastor Gail and Sister Deborah and others, amen, carting food back and forth. Some of y'all buying ribs, steaks, cooking them yourselves. Remember that day it rained? It rained on your barbecue. You couldn't even do nothing. We had to order pizza, go room to room and get pizza orders because it rained on your grill. Well, you don't have to worry about that. The food is provided. Three squares a day. Activities, swimming pool. They say black people don't swim, but I swim. Y'all swim. Somebody swim. Yes, well, jump that in. Hair and everything. Jump over to that water. All kinds of activities. Listen, and times of fellowship. And we're going to have our Saturday morning prayer. That was a powerful prayer. Amen. So listen, sign up in the Welcome Center. Pay the $100. You have until next Sunday. We're going to release it to outside of the Jenna Jen family at a certain point. We're going to have baptism service. I want the baptism video cued. I want to show that. Amen. So be part of this. How many want to go, plan to go? Yeah. So there you go. Y'all sign up. Stop playing. All right. Here we go. I think I did, you know, I did good. I got a rough administrative team. They sure will tell me if I ain't do it right. Help us today. I ain't even mess with nobody's baptism either. All right. But keep those dates in mind, please, please. Monday launch prayer Bible recap, June 3rd prophetic scope activation, June Project Family Month. We have a book. We'll have copies here that you can start reading. It's The Project Family by Bishop Hugh Smith. You can get it on Amazon. Sunday, July 16th, Volunteer Appreciation Day, and then August. Amen. Just keep those dates in mind. All right, God bless you. All right, I was going to pray a prayer. I usually get up and I pray over the offering. And I went to a scripture, pull up Ephesians 3, and just keep flowing with me. Ephesians 3, and just softly, but I was going to decree the scripture over everyone. See, because money is spiritual. You may not know that, but money is spiritual. Oh, let me release the young people. We have something. I'm sorry. We're good? Or are we good as is? Okay. All right. All right. So we think money is just material, but it's not just material. It's spiritual. Say money is spiritual.
Money is spiritual.
Because if it wasn't spiritual, how could you sow seed and reap a harvest? And if it was strictly material, it can only be at one place. But money can flow into your life from various streams. It's a principle. Even Jesus said that you can serve the God of money, the God of mammon. So money is spiritual. And that's why we give. And we don't, it's not some kind of deal with God, I give, you give back to me, let me do the math. Because you can sow and be generous, but sometimes you don't reap money back. Sometimes you reap wisdom that fills your house with all good things. You may give and reap hospitality or opportunity. But money is spiritual. So when we give and sow, and sometimes that's where people struggle. They struggle with giving because they're looking at it from a materialistic point of view. Because if I have $1,000 and I give $100, I only have $900 left. And so when you operate from a strictly natural material point of view, you're going to deduct that $100 from $1,000 and you're going to operate like all you have is $900. But when you understand the principle of money, the fact that money flows and that you give and it's given back to you, you can operate on a different level. So I was going to, in my mind, I said, well, you know what, I thank God. I said, Lord, thank you for that. And so I'm going to speak this blessing in Ephesians 3 over the people as they give. And we know this scripture because it says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than what we ask. And that's more than we can give communication to. That's more, immeasurably more than all we ask or all we give voice to or all we communicate. More than we can articulate. More than we can verbalize. So I said, Lord, thank you. I'm going to speak the blessing that even beyond more than you can communicate, God's going to exceed that you could put voice to. And then I saw this other word. All that we can ask, give voice to, verbalize, or imagine. So I started. I want to highlight. You know, sometimes you study the Spirit of God, I highlight something to you. Imagine. Imagine. I said, okay, so more than we can imagine. And I start thinking about imaginations. And, you know, we can imagine some tremendous things. And I start thinking about that word. The power of our imagination. I said, well, God, do you use imagination? Do you use imagination sort of more than we can imagine, more than we can visualize, more than we can see? And I started looking up that word of imagination. And one scripture that I found as I was just looking at this, I got a lot on this. I will not get through this today. Amen. We'll go into Kingdom Imagine Part 2 maybe next week. But was in Genesis, the 6th chapter, where before God brought the flood, he says, I repent that I created the world because the imagination of the people, this is Genesis 6, I think about the 4th verse, then find that for me and put that up. The imagination of the people are continually wicked. They have such a wicked imagination, verse 7, birds are creatures that move along. I don't see where the imagination, yeah. Great to wicked human race and become earth, and that every inclination or imagination of was only evil. So not only did they imagine evil in Genesis 6, but they carried out evil. Not only did they imagine evil, but they executed evil. It grieved God. 2 points here. If imaginations can be wicked, why can't they be righteous? Amen? Second, if they can execute wicked imaginations, we'll bring this home in a minute, why can't the people of God execute righteous imagination and vision and dreams? Why do the wicked can carry out what comes to their mind, evil imaginations? Yeah, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go over here. I'm gonna sleep with this woman. I know she's married, but she's been throwing me these vibes, you know, and she done slid into my DMs, and we about to do this, carry this out on the low. I'm gonna get me a burner phone. All right, and she's gonna get a burner phone. Our code, I'm gonna call her Scotty. Her name gonna be Scotty. You know, it's really Stephanie, but I'm gonna call her Scotty just in case, you know, her husband's gonna get this phone. He won't know. See all that? And so we're gonna meet up. I get the hotel. I text her, Scotty 312, and she know the room because she already know the place. You see all that? All that's coming from what? Imagination. That's all coming from an evil imagination, and it's being carried out. Well, why can't we tap into the things of God? I say, you know, okay, God gave me this imagination. I've always seen myself in business, and so I'm going to tap into this business because I've seen it, and I know God has enlightened my imagination. He has stimulated my imagination. He has paired my imagination with insight, and I can carry this out. Because not only is it going to be locked in, it's not going to stay in this place of the imagery of my mind, but structure is coming to my imagination. That's the portal that's about to flow into your life like you've never seen before. Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Imagination. Let me give you some definitions of this. The ability of the mind to be creative and resourceful. The part of the mind that imagines. Don't let the enemy, I prayed this prayer when I started looking at this, I prayed this prayer. So I rest, and there's a scripture about pulling down strongholds and every what? Imagination exalt itself against the knowledge. And I said, you know what I said? I said, you know what? The devil is a liar. I said, I arrest every demonic imagination that's come to me. Because sometimes we allow the enemy to live in the area of our imagination. God wants to use our imagination, but the enemy wants to contaminate our imagination. That's a good word, pervert it. Pervert our imagination. Sometimes we live in a fantasy world. Oh, relationship, here come the enemy. And it's really like imagination is false and evil imagination, perverted imaginations really work well when you have unconfessed sin or you live in the dark, because the enemy will keep bringing that back. Bring that lover back. Bring that incident back. Bring that sin back. Why? Because it's unconfessed. When it's unconfessed sin and it's done in the dark, the enemy has a portal to your imagination. And he keeps replaying it. He keeps replaying it. Before you go to bed at night, you find yourself daydreaming. You imagine. You know, I think about the song, "It's Just My Imagination." Run it away with. Your imagination done ran wild. You need to set the boundaries around the images that come into your heart, because God wants to use your imagination. He wants, in Ephesians 3, to do immeasurably more than you can communicate and more than you can godly imagine. But the enemy comes, he says, the imagination or the image you have of your family can't happen. The image you have of your business can't happen. The image you have can't happen. And we separate, my God, we separate imagination from God. But God gave you imagination. The power to imagine. I'll show you, I'm going to give you an example. I'll give you Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is what? The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Not seen is the seen to the senses. Faith is the substance, the very thing hoped for, and it is the evidence of things not seen to the natural senses, but the things of faith are seen, not in your senses, eyes, ears, and all that, but they're seen in your imagination. Your imagination is the picture of your faith. It is the imagery of your faith. Not only do you confess it, you see it in the spirit of your imagination. It's not just words. Imagination and faith have formed a partnership. And if you can believe it by faith, you can see it by faith. You can have it. That's why the enemy always attacks what you see with pictures and images that are wrong, because he wants to tear down what you see, because you need imagination partnered with your faith. Let me give you another. I'll give you an example. Here's a woman with an issue of blood. We preached on this woman. When we get to heaven, she's going to say, y'all wore me out. 12 years, she imagined herself being healed every doctor visit, every trial. Medicine runs or whatever. Every attempt, every herbal remedy. She imagined herself being healed. 12 years, no results. 12 years, no healing. 12 years, unsuccessful. The Bible says that this woman hears of Jesus, and faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. So she gets this faith because she heard the report of Jesus. So now here comes imagination to partner with her faith. Because she says, further she says, if I could just touch, I see myself touching the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. So she has the faith, and now she has the images. Imagination partners with her faith. Yes. She sees herself. If I could touch, all I got to do is touch the hem of his garment. That's imagery. That's imagery. She presses through the crowd. She's got the faith. She's got the imagination. God is waking up your imagination again. God is restoring your imagination. It is not too big. You thought it was too big. You thought it was your imagination going wild. It's not. It's not too big. It's not too big. Don't let it be separated from faith. Pair faith with the imagination. I got so much on this. I'm going to do part two, but Dallas, I told Gail last night, if I don't write this, I ain't saved. I just ain't saved. So she goes on what she does. She has the faith. She has the pictures in her mind, the imagination. She carries it out, and she's healed. Sometimes we're afraid to act on our imagination. But actually, our imagination has actually pointed the direction. We just have to pair it with faith. Let's go to the 12th chapter of Luke. And I think we're coming for a landing. We're going to pick up. Listen. God's going to anoint your imagination, people of God. He's going to anoint your imagination. You're going to have an imaginative, an anointed imagination. There's all kind of imagination, intellectual imagination, imaginative imagination, strategic imagination, emotional imagination. There is dreams, memory reconstruction. There's all kinds of imaginations. The portal of imaginations is about to flow over your life like you've never seen. Yes. Structure. Because the definition, one of the definitions of imagination is not only ability to create, be creative, resourceful, but it's the act or power or forming a mental image of something not present. See, when it's paired with faith, its image is not present to the senses or never before perceived. God's about to ignite your imagination in an area that you've never perceived, that you've never seen. He's about to use your imagination. The highest level of wealth in the earth are the people with imagination. Your physical body can only earn you so much money. That's the first level of revenue which you can physically gain. The next level is communicative. Articulating, what you can articulate, what you can share, what you can bring, what you do on a job. You have athletes that can play and hoop and all that. But you know where the real wealth is? The people that have an imagination. The people that can invent and perceive something not in the earth. Steve Jobs held up an iPhone. Never been created. A phone that would have apps on it. A phone that would have an app store. The highest level of wealth will come through the area of your imagination. And it's going to be supported by wisdom, understanding, physical strength, and the ability to communicate it. Because it's not going to be disjointed anymore. God's about to give your imagination legs. So Steve Jobs, he stands, he says, I got this thing, this device, we're going to call it this. It's going to have these apps on it. You're going to have an app store. People are like, I ain't never seen that before. Then people stayed outside like a week before the phone came out, man. They were tense. Because his imagination gave birth to something that the world needed. That the world need it. You got to believe that about yourself. You got to believe that about yourself. That there is something in you that the world needs. In the not too distant future, I'm about to teach 4 classes on entrepreneurship. I'm going to have people going to pay. It's going to be a nominal fee. I'm going to have 12 slots. I'm going to give 4 lessons. Amen. Because I want to share on business. I've been in business almost 30 years. You have something. You have something in you. You have something in you. And I'm going to go to Luke in a moment. You have something in you. What makes a diamond precious and expensive? What makes a diamond? Because it's what? Not the making of a diamond, but what makes it so expensive? Because it's what? It's limited. It's rare. That's what gives a diamond value, because it's rare. Amen? You are the only you out of all the people in the earth. You are the only you. That means you're rare and valuable. And that also means that you have a contribution that no one else could give. You have a story no one else could tell. You have an anointing that's unique to you. And the enemy tries to clog your imagination that you surely can't be what you're picturing. But if you tap into the purpose that's released in your imagination, people will come to you. There are people who will be drawn to you. Amen? Amen? Solomon, people, he didn't have to ask for money. He had so much wisdom, people would come. They wouldn't even come in his presence without money. They would just come in his presence. All right. Luke Luke 12. How does this tie into the kingdom? Here Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." How does this tie into the kingdom? In the 12th chapter of Luke, Jesus is dealing with some topics. This crowd is building. People are coming to hear what he says. They're coming because of the miracles. They're coming because of demons being cast out. Jesus tells parables. He's telling a parable, and he's going, you know, he's talking about, even like in Matthew 6, he's talking about don't worry and don't be afraid of your life today. Don't let imagination of worry and anxiety, fear. You know, fear has an imaginative trailer. Worry has an imaginative a trailer. I've done it myself. I hurt my knee, and I get extreme, and I had to catch myself. I hurt my knee. I said, "Oh my God, I might have to have knee replacement or something." You know, I mean, because worry attacks your imagination. And it's hard to have faith when you're imagining defeat. Fear has an imagination. It comes with the worst case scenario. Fear never comes with middle ground. Fear paints the worst picture ever. And it's hard to have faith and fear, because fear has brought and attacked your partner of faith, your imagination. You've got to guard your imagination. They said, "Don't let them doctors, man. Don't them doctors, man. You go to that doctor, you know they don't treat black people right, man. They ain't getting to get you up in there, but they forgot you in there." Amen. Because fear what? Has painted the picture in your imagination, which has now it wars against your faith. You got to guard. Somebody say, guard your imagination. To guard it. You got to protect it. So Jesus said, don't be afraid. He said, because this is what I want you to get. This is the images I want you to get. This is the imagery I want you to get. He said, it's my father has been pleased to give you the very kingdom. And that word give you the kingdom in the Greek is to confer a kingdom. To decree you a kingdom, to bestow you a kingdom as a king. So don't worry about today, tomorrow. Don't worry about your life. I'm going to take care of your life. Not only am I going to take care of your life, but imagine this. It's my Father's good pleasure to confer you the kingdom, to pronounce you a kingdom, to establish you a king in a kingdom. It's my Father's good pleasure to make you a king. Now, what's the imagination of a king? That's why Jesus preached, man. He preached the kingdom. He preached because why? Because he had to deal with the thinking of the people. He said, repent. I got to get not to your conscience. I got to get beyond the mere accumulation of facts in your mind. I got to get to your subconscious, because your subconscious is your automatic response. It is a response where you don't even think about. You just do it. I've got to get this upgrade in you so that you will think different. I've got to preach the kingdom. I got to preach the kingdom. I got to demonstrate the kingdom so that you could really imagine the kingdom, so that all you see is the kingdom. So all you see is the kingdom and yourself as a king. Now, what's the imagination of a king? Sickness come, what's the imagination of a king? When trouble comes, what's the imagination of a king? When people rise up, what's the imagination of a king? When people come against your family, enemy comes against your family, what's the imagination of a king? Whole different mindset. A whole different mindset. Because you've been given dominion in your area. You're a king. Take on a king's imagination. You've been crowned on your mind. You've been crowned a king. Take on a king's vision. Stop being a puppet to sin. Stop being a puppet to fear and anxiety. Stop being manipulated and put on and guard your imagination and think and function as a king. I challenge you over these next 7 days, when that imagination starts brewing, to say, you know, I reject that imagination. My imagination is sanctified. It is used of God. I get revelation, insight, wisdom, and understanding through my imagination. I set the boundaries of my imagination. I will not let my imagination run wild. Oh, yeah, things may look different in the physical, but you know what? I got faith, which is the substance, and I have an imagination, which is the visual revelation of that faith, the visual explanation of that faith. Amen. So I know how it's going to look. I know I'm coming out of this. I know I'm overcoming this because I see it in the Spirit. My faith and my imagination join forces. And then God's going to come, and God's going to say, because you've given me your imagination, now I'm going to do even beyond it. How many times you hear of successful people say, I never saw myself like this. I just thought I was going to act in this little movie that they asked me to act in, and now I'm all over the place. I never saw this. I never saw myself. How many times have you heard people say that? Beyond their imagination. Here's the season, people of God. New portals of imagination are opening to you. I want you to hear this. Where there has been clogging and fear and worry, Holy Spirit is flushing that out. Where lust, perversion, distraction has come and attacked your imagination, if you allow the Spirit of God, He's about to purify your imagination. Where you have dwelt on what you don't have, what you have dwelt on, what you had to give up, and it keeps you imagining the sin, it keeps you imagining the place that it seems like that was more pleasurable than where I am now, and where am I now? I don't see my future. God is about to give you a picture. Here's that. Thank you, Jesus. I just got this. There's a picture coming to your imagination, a fresh picture to your imagination. And this is what I just heard, because Jesus is the author of and the finisher of your faith. In other words, Jesus is about to author you a picture. He is about to author a new image in your life. He is about to author in your imagination. Jesus is about to paint a new picture. He's about to author a new decree over your life. He's the author. And then you know what He's going to do? He's not going to leave you in that place of imagination. He's a finisher. He's going to author and He's going to finish. He's going to give you a fresh picture and He's going to finish it. Oh, Jesus. That's pretty good, Holy Spirit. That's pretty good, Holy Spirit. I receive the image of God. I receive the image of God. I receive the image of God. Come on, just lift your hands. Father, just repeat after me. Father, I thank you for your word. I receive portals of imagination, revelation. They're being downloaded and to my spirit now. And Lord, I repent where I've given in to imaginations that are lies from the pit. I reject those imaginations birthed by worry, birthed by fear, birthed by past failures. I repent of giving in to those. Lord, sanctify my imagination and allow it to be partnered with my faith. What I believed you for, God, give me to see it in the spirit of my imagination. My imagination now belongs to you, Lord. My imagination, my creativity belongs to you, Lord. You'll show me dreams. You're going to give me visions. You're going to upgrade my imagination. It's not beyond my purpose. It's not too big. It's from you, Lord. So I receive it by faith. I see it in the spirit. And so now I take hold of it by faith. Faith is the substance. Imagination is the visual representation. I receive new levels of imagination. And I thank you, Lord, that you support this. It will not just be in the imagination of my mind, but you bring physical strength, wisdom, insight, partnerships, whatever is needed for me to realize what I now see is done in Jesus' name. Come on, give Jesus a praise over that. Huh. Now stand and give him worship. Let me tell you, in this supernatural moment, God is about to release, even bring back to you some imaging. And he's about to update some imaging. I believe the Holy Spirit's about to do some downloads even in this service. One thing in the 12th chapter of Luke that I didn't bring up is that a man came to Jesus and wanted him to settle a dispute with his brother. And Jesus said, man, I ain't got nothing to do with that. And I'm paraphrasing. And sometimes, man, one of the tactics to get you off vision, out of faith, is to get you involved in something you ain't got no business. Sometimes you got to leave people alone. Because you get dealing with people, man, they had you all jacked up. All of a sudden, your imagination's wrong. You're just off. But I believe in this moment, the Spirit of God wants to download and quicken the imagination of our minds. Let's just spend a moment, even those watching via live stream. I want you to spend a moment, just stop what you're doing and worship. Because God's going to sanctify your imagination. Let me tell you something. I said a few weeks ago that by this time next year, I decreed it, and we'll have millionaires in the church. And part of this is part of wealth here. Because when you could tap into your imagination to do something other people won't even think of doing or dare to do, that's the highest level of wealth, is the level of imagination. And it comes without toil. It comes without toil. It takes some work, but not toil. And then it releases something on your life that's generational in Jesus' name. The enemy has tried to keep the imagination of the church. And we call it, imagination, vision. I'm not going to say they're the same. Amen. We'll have to work on that and develop that. But the enemy fights against your imagination because he always brings up your shortcomings when you imagine big things. He always brings up the but, and why you can't achieve this thing you're seeing. And God wants you to see it, and he wants you to possess it by faith. So I believe God's about to do some downloads here. So let's just worship for a moment. Let's just worship you and God. And let them just wash over your imagination. And let them just release new vision and updates. Just updates. Arrete. Father, we activate the imagination of the sons and daughters of God. Father, we activate the imagination of the sons and daughters of God. Thank you, Lord. We activate and reactivate godly imaginations, visual pictures of our faith. We don't have how it's going to come together, but Father, you've given it to us. We take hold of it by faith. We give you glory. We give you glory. Come on, we give you glory. 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 We stop fighting against the imagination of God. We will stop fighting the picture you've given us over about our families, our lives. Regardless of how far they seem to have gone, we hold on to our faith and the picture of our faith. Thank you, Lord. 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 Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Bless you, Jesus. Hallelujah. How many sense that the your imagination, the picture has been updated? Is you kind of receive in that moment? So I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. The obstacle of fear and anxiety has been removed. Are you going to do it? And it's going to happen. It's already been released in the spirit. Now you're going to bring it to the earth. Be a solutionist. You're going to bring it to the earth and be a problem solver. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Over the live stream, I pray you receive this word. Tag someone. Share this word with someone that's been wrestling with the picture that God has shown them. God wants us to see ourselves in the kingdom. Dominion, power, rule, authority. He wants us to see ourselves. Amen. Share this. And if you prayed that prayer, reach out, call, email us. We want to hear from you. We'll contact you in Jesus' name. Amen. You want to be a blessing to this service? Amen. So give. The ways to give are online. Amen. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Join me tomorrow, 6 a.m. prayer. Join me for the Bible recap at 7 a.m. God bless you in Jesus' name. Let's give our live stream, our connected community a hand. Hallelujah.